morning. Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we are at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be here, as he always is, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'm delighted to welcome Deborah Earhart. She is the writer and performer of a one-woman play called Jamaica Farewell, which is being performed today and tomorrow at the James A. Little Theater here in Santa Fe at 8 in the evening. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte. I'm so thrilled and excited to be in Santa Fe.
I know. It's wonderful to have you here. Now, you wrote this. You're originally from Jamaica. You wrote this play, Jamaica Farewell, about a certain point in your life, a certain very exciting moment. You were trying to get out of Jamaica.
Yes, I actually wanted to come to the United States when I was 7 years old. I had heard so many amazing things about America that you know, anything you could dream of, you could find it in America. It was like Disney World to me. And I wanted to get to America from the age of 7. In fact, my family had wanted to come here too, and my mother had gone down to the embassy a few times to try to get a visa to get here, but she was always denied because we were not wealthy, and we could not prove to the embassy that, you know, we were financially stable, and so, you know, we couldn't get a visa. So it was very disappointing because my dad, who was an alcoholic and a gambler,
and whom you portray apparently very lovingly in this performance.
yes. I loved him, but he was an alcoholic and a gambler, and so we were far from financially stable, and so we could not get a visa to leave. But, you know, I had the dream to come here because I just wanted more from my life, you know, so from a little girl, I wanted to get here, and at 17 years old, I was able to finally, you know, get to the United States.
And we don't want to give away the whole performance, but there was basically your key to getting the heck out of there was getting involved in smuggling a huge amount of money.
Yes, that's true. At that time in Jamaica, there was a political revolution going on, and you were not allowed to take more than $50 out of the country at that time. Otherwise, you could have gone to jail for God knows how long. And, you know, at 17 years old, it's funny how you think you're invincible and you can do anything and you're never going to die, you're never going to go to jail. And I took a chance because I had met an American in Kingston, and I think he kind of liked me.
You think he kind of liked you. Translation, ladies and gentlemen, he was completely head over heels for this beautiful young Jamaican teenager.
So I saw my route. I thought, okay, well, maybe he would help me to, you know, to get out. And, you know, he didn't quite know what actually happened, but he unwittingly helped me to smuggle $1 million out of the United States. And I was able to get a visa and live the American dream.
So you went and therein lies a whole adventure, and if you'd gotten caught, I can't even imagine. But you went to New York and then to Los Angeles to become an actor.
Yeah, you know, I started telling stories at 7 years old in a mango tree in Jamaica because, like I said, we were poor and there was no money left over for entertainment. So to entertain myself and my friends, I got really good at telling the best stories and mimicking people and doing their voices, and I was like the star of the neighborhood, you know. And eventually I was charging a nickel to come and hear my stories in the mango tree, you know, and I dreamt about coming to do them in America one day. That was my little secret dream, you know. And when I told my friends, I'm going to be telling stories in America one day, they said, you're crazy, man, that's never going to happen. How are you going to get there, you know? But I eventually, you know, when I got to the United States, I went to school in New York, and when I graduated, you know, they said to me, well, you're not going to get a job with that Jamaican accent. You're going to have to change it and sound more American. Then you'll get more jobs. And because really and truly, how many jobs are there written for a Jamaican girl? There's none. And I thought, oh dear, I couldn't get the accent down, but I did go to a speech coach and try to change the accent and sound more American. And I remember after studying with her for a year and thinking I kind of got the American accent down, I went to my first audition and the director said, that was great, now just do that with your American accent. And I'm thinking, that was the American accent.
Oh no.
And I thought, well, I'm never going to get to do work in the business unless I write my own work. And I thought, well, this is America, you know, you can do anything. So I put pen to paper and I started writing my own stories. And the first play I wrote was called Mango Mango. And then I wrote another one called Invisible Chairs. And this is my third play, Jamaica Farewell. And I've been playing all over the world. It's been in Canada and all over the United States and London and Bermuda and Mexico. And I've been doing it now for about 3 years. And a few months ago in Los Angeles, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson walked into the play. I about fainted. I thought, oh my God, how am I going to do this? You know, I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I just looked at myself in the mirror and said, Deborah Earhart, you've been waiting for this moment since you were a little girl, 7 years old in that mango tree. You better get out there and do your best, you know. And then...
Well, I would think when you've been doing a play that long, no matter who is in the audience, you just kick into your automatic stage self and just do it.
You know what? You know, people think that, but I think that, I don't know, I still get nervous. I still get that adrenaline pumping. And I keep thinking maybe it's the nervousness will stop one day. But somebody told me that if that nervousness stops, then the play's not going to be any good anymore because you need that nervous energy, you know? And so after the play, me, a little Jamaican girl, you know, met Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson after the play. I couldn't believe it. And they've optioned the play, and they're going to start a U.S. tour next year, and they've also optioned the screen rights. So maybe, you know, we're going to get to see Jamaica Farewell on the screen.
Very interesting.
I want to invite all your listeners to come and see it because you want to see it before
it gets really big.
Yes!
We're talking to Deborah Earhart. Her play is called Jamaica Farewell, tonight and tomorrow at 8 o'clock at the James A. Little Theater. So you do all the roles.
Yes.
Not a lot of in the way of sets or costumes. So basically, as a performer, it's all on you to let us know whether you are the drunken father or any of the many characters.
Yes, that is correct. I do all the characters because since this is my story, and just for the record, I want to say it's mostly true because I don't want the FBI or CIA to be coming after me after the show.
Right.
So it's mostly true. And, you know, because it happened to me, I know all the people. And so I do all the characters, and we have a great soundtrack as well. And, you know, I have no doubt that, you know, it's a different kind of a story, and that you will have an unforgettable evening. I mean, most people that see the play talk about it for days after. You know?
Well, it's interesting. I was looking at the there are a lot of people who've seen it because you've been touring it for 3 years, and you know, great reviews, sold out crowds. But I'm always, the thing I love about the internet is whenever there's for example, a newspaper review, mm-hmm. then all the readers get to post their comments. Mm-hmm. So I was reading, I don't know, 50 or 100 reader comments from people who've seen the play. And one of the themes that kept on coming up was, while I normally hate self-indulgent autobiographical theater, and most people's lives are not worth my sitting on it, paying money to sit in a theater and see them, that this was so riveting that I couldn't believe it, and I've been three times. And that's really something for a one-woman show, because there is always the danger when you tell your life story that it's not necessarily interesting to anybody outside of your blood relatives.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's the one thing about Jamaica Farewell. I have had people from all... Oh, at first, I was a little bit nervous. You know, who's going to want to see a Caribbean show, a Jamaican show? But, you know, the story is really about a girl with a dream and how she got that dream. And, you know, no matter where you're from in the world, we all have dreams. And so people of all genders and, you know, it's amazing. I get people from China, American, black, white, Indian coming up to me after and... you know, saying, "Oh my God, what an amazing story that was!" You know, you've I mean, it just. You know,
and they laugh out loud.
And they do. They laugh out loud and you know, and they scream out stuff in the play. It's funny. And like you said, it's amazing to me because when I've done it, I have people who come up to me and say, "This is my third time and I brought these people." And I'm thinking, you sat through this for three times,
that's,
you know.
It's very interesting. There's something going on there, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. I think one of the things also that your work brings up is this funny paradox of wanting to leave your country and then longing for your country and longing for home.
Yes, you know, the thing about, of course, I go back to Jamaica a couple times a year. I have not lived there since I left because I'm an American citizen now, and I love the United States. You know, I would never live anywhere else. I just love it. I think if you work hard enough in America, the one good thing about the United States is that no matter where you come from, if you work hard enough and you're just diligent and you persevere, it just seems to me that you can pretty much get whatever you want, you know. And American people, on the most part, seem to be so open and accepting. I guess that would depend on what city you're in, but from the ones that I've been in.
I know, the news out of Arizona might say otherwise at this little moment, but anyway.
Oh, but anyway, I do love Jamaica because, you know, it's just the culture and the people and, you know, I miss the ocean sometimes and my curry goat and my oxtail, so I try to get back there a couple of times a year. But I think everybody kind of feels that way about their homeland, you know.
Well, and it's something that I think is very important. There are some people who they need to leave their homeland in order to understand it,
mm-hmm.
and appreciate it and also make art about it.
That's true. That's true. You know, I think if I never had the life that I did, it hasn't been easy, but if I had an amazing, great life, I wouldn't have any stories to tell.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it's great.
What's it like when you bring this to Jamaican audiences?
You know what? At first, I was a little bit worried because, you know, in my country and maybe some parts of the United States and a lot of other countries, people don't want to tell anything negative about themselves or their lives or their families because they get embarrassed about it, you know. And when my mother, who I bless her heart, wonderful woman, fundamentalist Christian that spent her whole life in church trying to pray for daddy to stop drinking, you know, while I was just wishing myself away from it all in the United States. When she heard that I was writing this story, she was like, "Oh, I cannot believe you're going to air your dirty laundry. You know, why are you going to tell people about us?" I said, "Mom, what are they going to do with the information, you know?" She's like, "No, but we come from a culture. We don't talk about things like that. You only have to talk about the good stuff. You don't talk about
right.
anything negative." And I'm like, "Mom, you know, I want to share the story so that, you know, so that people can, maybe people will say, you know what, that happened to me too, and they don't feel alone. I think by sharing our stories in the world, that's how we can connect with each other."
Now, did she see it?
Oh, she saw it. And, you know, she sat in the back and I said, "Mom, can I introduce you?" After, she was like, "No, don't even tell anybody that I am here." You know, she was a, you know.
And then she saw it.
And she saw it, though. And you know, she still was a tiny bit embarrassed, you know. But I think living in America, maybe she's, you know, a tiny bit less embarrassed than if she was in Jamaica, you know, but she still doesn't want me to introduce her. And, you know, she has asked me, "Can you not use my real name in the play?" I said, "Mom, I use the names, you know, because it helps me to remember the characters, you know." But it's that small island mentality, you
right,
know.
Right.
But
so we're talking to Deborah Earhart. The play is called Jamaica Farewell. It's tonight and tomorrow. And by the way, people who have heard this broadcast, tonight, not tomorrow, but tonight, they can get two tickets for the price of one if they mention that they heard it on KSFR, ladies and gentlemen. So when you are thinking about making this into a film, would it be the same kind of thing that you're doing now? In other words, essentially a film of a performance with you playing all the roles?
Well, you know what? This happened to me when I was 17 years old, because believe me, what I did over 20 years ago, you cannot do it. It's funny, what you can do at 17 is not what you're going to do in your 40s, because you just don't have the nerve for it. So, but I think they're going to do it with a 17-year-old girl.
Oh, so that it'll be a real narrative film.
Yes, it'll be a real film. And once again, I want to invite you all to come and see it, because I think that it's going to get on the big screen. And maybe I'm going to even be at the Oscars. Well, can you imagine a little Jamaican girl? It's just a huge... This is the American dream for me.
Well, and you know, one step at a time. But I think it's also, when you see a narrative film like that, it's one thing. But to see, there's something really beautiful and fascinating that we don't get to see that much, which is one performer playing many roles.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, I know all the people, and it's just very exciting for me, because even though this story happened over 20 years ago, it's the scariest thing that has ever happened to me in my whole life. I still get goosebumps when I think about it, you know. I can't even believe I did that, you know. But like I said, at 17 years old, I'm sure we all have some crazy stories.
So this may sound like a funny question, but what would you like people to know about Jamaica? I bet there's a lot of people who, first of all, have never been there, can sort of vaguely place it on a map, maybe, and don't know anything about the country. We know about reggae.
Yes, most people just know about reggae. But let me tell you, if you haven't been to Jamaica, you should try to get there before your life is over. The Jamaican people are wonderful and warm and giving. And you know that we have that no problem mentality, which maybe is not that good, because we kind of live one day at a time, as if it's, you know, we kind of live life as if that is the last day that we're going to be, you know, living. And
which doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world.
No, it
doesn't.
There's
people who write books about spirituality teaching people to try to be like that.
Yeah, that's true in a way. You know, it is good, but sometimes you have to think about tomorrow once in a while. You know, we just never think we're going to get old, and I don't think we do, really. You know, I've got some 80-year-old people walking around eating their mangoes on that tree like, you know, they still think they're 30 years old. But it's a beautiful place. You know, there is some poverty there. We do have a couple problems every now and then, like every other country in the world, you know. Just a few weeks ago, I'm sure some people might have seen that we had a little bit of, you know, unrest in Jamaica. But, you know, like in every country, there are certain parts, you know, of it that are not that safe. But basically, on the whole, Jamaica is safe. It's beautiful. The people are wonderful and, you know, just very giving and loving. And we all cook really good. So that's important. We eat well.
It is, in fact, extremely important. Now, are you planning, you're working with this show for the foreseeable future. Are you planning or hoping to go back into other kinds of acting, or is this really your path now, the one-woman writer-performer show?
Well, you know, I think that I might be right. A lot of people have come up to me and said, well, what they want to know, what happened after the story? You know, what's great about this show is that it's 90 minutes long, and, you know, at the end of the show, people don't want to leave the theater. It's like, well, I want to hear more, which is really good. You know, they're like, well, what happened? Did 1 hour and a half go by so quickly? So they want to hear more. They want to know what happened. What did you think of America when you got here? And so I might be writing Jamaica Farewell 2. But of course, if there's other work offered to me, I would love to do it. It's just that, like I said, as you can tell, after being in this country over 20 years, I still haven't gotten the American accent down yet. So I don't know if, you know, I don't know what I can do with, you know, how many roles there are with a Jamaican accent. But no matter what, I'm going to still continue to tell my stories.
Excellent. I was reading somewhere that another thing that you encountered here is because of the way you look, which is a mixture of all sorts of different races, people didn't know how to categorize you.
There you go. That's so true. Because in Jamaica, our motto is out of many, one people. And, you know, Jamaicans, you know, some people don't know that they have blonde, blue-eyed Jamaicans. You know, we have all different kinds of Jamaicans, Indians, Chinese, blacks, white, and a lot of us are mixed, and I'm mixed myself. And sometimes people think I'm white. Sometimes people think I'm black. Sometimes people think I'm Chinese, Indian. And believe me, I use it to my advantage. If I need to be white, I'm white. If I need to be black, I'm black. I can be Mexican, whatever.
That is hilarious. What is the situation? Like, give me an example of that.
You know, sometimes when people talk to me on the phone, you know, it's funny because they'll talk to me on the phone and they'll think that they're talking to like a black person. And then I walk in, and depending on how I look that day, you know, they'll go, oh my goodness, I thought I was talking to a black person, you know. I'm sorry. And I'm like, what are you sorry for? You know, and sometimes people will say things to me when I'm in a room because they don't know that I'm mixed and have Jamaican blood. And sometimes people will say maybe something negative about, you know, a certain race of people. And I'm like, oh, I don't think that's politically correct. You know, I'm black. And they're like, oh my God, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were, you know, so I kind of use it. And it's funny to hear what people will say about other people when they don't really know anything about you.
Right.
But, you know, people have taken me for even Filipino, or it's funny. Oh,
I know. There, you know? It is a funny thing. I knew a woman who was mixed race, and basically wherever she went outside of the United States, whether she went to Latin America or Morocco or the Middle East or India, everybody thought that she was from there. And there is a kind of like international kind of, you know, de facto passport that you have when you look a certain way.
I know, it's funny, you know, America, in Jamaica, you know, we don't really have the color prejudice in Jamaica. We have the class prejudice. So, in fact, my father was white and my mother was of mixed race, and she was of the higher class, and my father was of the lower class. And when he met my mother, her parents were like, you can't marry him. Look at the shoes on his feet, you know. So it was funny for me to come to the United States. That's another reason why I wanted to leave, because I was tired of the class system. You know, we were a British colony, and they kind of judged you from who your family were and your, you know, and money and education. And so
you went out of one prejudice into another.
And so when I came here, I thought, oh my goodness, I got to get to America because there's no class prejudice over there. Everybody's kind of treated the same, you know. And you know, when I got here, and somebody said to me one day, it was shortly after I got here, somebody came up to me and said, you know, excuse me, are you black or white? And I thought it was a trick question.
What an odd thing to say.
Yeah, it was in Grand Central Station. They said, are you black or white? And I'm like, this is a trick question. Let me think how to answer this. And I said, well, you know, I think I'm beige.
Exactly. Deborah Earhart is writer and performer of the one-woman play Jamaica Farewell, and the performances here in Santa Fe 2 days only, tonight and tomorrow at 8 in the evening, and it's at the James A. Little Theater. And so if you want to go tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you can get two tickets for the price of one if you mention that you heard this interview on KSFR. Deborah, thank you so much for being with us.
Mary Charlotte, thank you so much. I'm very excited to be in Santa Fe.
And we'll see you tonight.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now. Robert Knott is on deck. Please stay tuned. And I'm very happy now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the education reporter for the Pasa Tiempo.
Yeah, that guy's great. Yeah.
And I mean, for the New Mexican.
I just said
the Pasa Tiempo.
Oh, that's right.
And the Pasa Tiempo is the Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
You know, I never paid attention to ads until I started working for Pasa Tiempo. And I just have to mention this cute ad on page 13 of Pasa.
Where's that,
the
dog?
The third
in it?
Annual Kitten Festival.
Oh.
Next weekend at Petco. 100 cats and kittens need homes. Save.
Oh, I
life.
Just saw a furry thing. I thought it was a dog, but
no,
it was a
kitty. They're kitty cats, because, you know, I have both dogs and cats. And then the funny thing is, my first pets were when I lived in Athens, Greece, were ducks. I had two ducks, and I had a little kitty plastic pool in the back that they swam in, a little
really?
Pen. And I fed...
Via
two ducks. And so what happened was, I own these ducks, and look at page 35, there's this cute ad with ducks in it. And it was great because, like, I would say to women who want to come over to my house and see my ducks, and they thought I was kidding, and then they would come over to see them, and I have the little swimming pool, which was...
Well, at least it worked.
New Mexico Jazz Fest is this weekend. What do you know about it?
Oh, it's a festival of jazz.
Oh, I'm telling you, Bamzoon. 7:30 tonight, Simone at the Lenzik kicks
Simone?
Things off. Yes, not Paul Simone. Saturday, you have Los Pioneros de la 21, as well as others.
Los Pioneros de la 21 are going to be here?
Sí,
I didn't know that.
In Old Town Plaza.
Wow. And that's a plena group. They're great.
Yep, they're down at 2 o'clock tomorrow in the Plaza, Albuquerque. You've got Meet the Artist programs. You've got a lot of events happening at Outpost Performance Space, Lenzik Performing Arts, Old Town Plaza. and the Verve Gallery of Photography is running a show, and Paul Weideman did a great job with a number of stories in today's Pasta Tempo about the Jazz Festival. He also writes about the book, The Jazz Loft Project, which Sam Stevenson's photojournalistic look at the old jazz masters, and they're great. Take a look at the story around page 50 in Pasta Tempo.
You can go to NewMexicoJazzFestival.org, and I am there, and the funny thing is, it doesn't tell you who's... It's not easy to figure out who's performing when.
That's why you should pick up the Pasta Tempo and look at our calendar.
I know,
on page
but that's
47.
That's lame.
No, it's not. Pasta Tempo's
great. No, it's lame that they don't have their own schedule.
We should say don't listen to KSFR. Oh, you're saying that the Jazz Fest should have a better schedule. Yes, they should.
They should.
Bad Jazz Fest.
Very bad.
Okay, you can't find it still?
I don't know. I went to the Lenzing.
Hey, didn't SFAI want you to mention something?
Yes, Santa Fe Art Institute. Let me go back to my other file.
And while she's waiting, I'm going to do puppet figures with my hands. I got a couple socks on here, and they're talking with each other. They're very cute. Hi there.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Oh, boy, you certainly speak well.
Well, thanks. I'm making this dialogue up as I go along. Are you ready?
Yeah, it's riveting. So, let's see. Will Wilson Lecture.
Will Wilson Lecture? How do I know if Wilson's going to lecture? Ask him.
Let's put it this way. Will Wilson is lecturing on... Oh, God, what day of the week is the 19th? Is that Monday?
The 19th is usually the day that comes after the 18th, no matter
what.
Yeah,
what day
is.
Of the week is it?
Well,
is it
today's
Monday?
The 16th, so I'm assuming it's Monday.
Yeah, so it's Monday at Tipton Hall at 6 o'clock in the evening. And then the open studio is the 22nd, which must be Thursday at Santa Fe Art Institute. And then they have an ongoing elemental exhibition, which is happening, which is going on through the 27th of next month.
Okay, nice. I'm glad you mentioned that. Will Wilson Lecture. author Camille Flores teams up with photographer Gene Peach for the book Santa Fe Icons, 50 Symbols of the City Different. A nice photojournalistic look at the Santa Fe and everything it has to offer. At 1:30 Saturday, that's tomorrow, they're going to pop up at the Palace of the Governor's Book Print and Photo Archive Shop. Use the Washington Avenue entrance, please, north of the plaza, for a free chit-chat. Discussion, book signing. Both Gene and Camille will be there. Camille works for the New Mexican. They are going to...
I just found their schedule. It's on the... It's right on the front page down at the bottom of the New Mexico Jazz Festival.
All right, so it is there.
Yeah.
So, Camille, 1:30 Saturday, Palace of the Governors, and then Tuesday night at 6 at Collected Work, she's teaming up with the photographer Gene Peach to talk and sign copies as well. And a story on today's Pasta Tempo by Mr. Rob DeWalt.
Yay.
And I have to plug something of Rob DeWalt's. He wrote a great column today, and he wrote a great column because he focuses on this young guy named Dylan Walter, who's 19. And he just walked into Rob's office and said, I've got this CD of mixes of hip-hop. Take a look. And Rob writes a great little narrative about how the guy came in and... how he listens to the music, and he's giving him a plug for his concert he's having next week at Warehouse 21 on the 24th. It's a nice piece by Rob, and it also speaks to how sometimes young artists, all artists, have to reach out sometimes to the press to try to get publicity and give us enough notice so that we can do something about it, which was apparently the case with the interview you just did. And for Deborah...
Yeah, I think she's going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be very good. I mean, the reviews that I read about it, I didn't get a chance to see it, and there's not a DVD, so I usually try to go to the rehearsal, but for whatever reason I couldn't go to the one rehearsal that she did here, and people rave about it. I mean, these things, this performance is sold out for like 4 weeks in some, you know, in Los Angeles or whatever city she goes to, and it's funny when it's somebody like that you've never heard of and they come to Santa Fe and the house is three quarters empty, but I think it's a little hidden treasure.
www.brownpapertickets.com, 8 o'clock Friday and Saturday, James A. Little Theater, New Mexico School for the Deaf.
And if you go tonight, you get two tickets for the price of one.
That's nice, because, you do have to pay to get in. There's a little blurb about it on Pasta Tempo, page 21. I mentioned Rob DeWalt's column. I want to mention Steve Terrell's, because he did a nice piece on local musician, poet, writer Kel Robertson, who's now about 80 years old and has a new album out called 'Cause I'm Crazy. Steve writes nicely about it, and he'll be on the radio tonight on, guess what, KSFR.
Yay.
The Santa Fe Opry, 10 o'clock, Steve Terrell.
Speaking of the Opry, I went to the opera the other night.
Yeah, what'd you say? Anything good?
The Magic Flute.
What happened?
Love, friendship, courage, beauty, and goodness triumphed in the end.
Was it all the same story that they did like 3-4 years ago when they did the magic flute?
It was the same story, and it was kind of the same staging, but there were some differences. It was better than a couple of years ago in terms of the theater of it.
I saw the one a few years ago, and I met somebody the other day who said this one's better.
Yeah.
But it ends the same way?
Yeah, they didn't rewrite the plot. They didn't do a focus group and change the ending.
Wait a minute. Don't you think I know that stuff? The ancient Greeks used to go see Hamlet and those Trojan women. They knew exactly what the ending was. It was the fact that the staging would be different and exciting and teach them new philosophical lessons about love, life, lust, and laughter.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a tragedy, but this was not a tragedy. And the king that was supposed to be a terrible tyrant turned out to be a good and fair man who was trying to teach the Queen of the Night a lesson, and it was.
Oh, that's good.
It's very sweet. You don't rip yourself open and gnash your teeth because of the way people are behaving.
Right, the gnashing of teeth usually goes hand in hand with opera.
So this Sunday, July 18th, from 3 to 7 at the Chalk Farm Gallery at 729 Canyon Road, there will be a fundraiser for a new animal sanctuary called Used Pets. So it's a nonprofit for animal rescue. They actually have a 12-year track record in California, and they are coming to New Mexico, which heaven knows.
Used Pets. One more time, please, the time and the place.
Used Pets. Sunday at 3 o'clock, 3 to 7 at the Chalk Farm Gallery at 729 Canyon Road. For more information, 983-7125.
Now, there's these guys that climb up.
Oh, and there's live jazz by the Ben Martinez Project and food and wine at a silent auction.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're auctioning off two cruises.
Two cruises?
Just saying.
They ought to be auctioning off two dachshunds or something.
Tom and Penelope.
Oh, I'll show up for that. For Penelope, anyway. They just made a movie together, but I don't think anybody went to see it.
Oh.
No, I'm thinking about Cameron Diaz. She's not Penelope Cruz. I find Penelope Cruz exciting.
She's fabulous.
Yeah. What was I thinking about?
I don't know. You got so distracted by Penelope Cruz.
So there's these guys that climb up this pole. It's 60 feet high in the air. They throw themselves off it, but they're attached to it like bungee cords. And it's sort of an homage to the gods, to the fertility gods, or to the monkey dance or something. Anyway, it's part of Viva Mexico.
Yay!
Rancho de las Golondrinas, 334 Los Pinos Road, south of town. 10 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 5 Sunday. Not too expensive to get in. Call 471-2261 or visit www.golondrinas.org or read Paul Weideman's story in Paso Tiempo today. Paul wrote a lot of good stuff today.
They're called the Papantla Flyers.
Yes.
And that is a traditional Mexican thing.
And this week's opera is the Hoffman, right? The Tales of Hoffman opens tonight? You saw the magic flute, but it's Tales of Hoffman.
I'm going to Hoffman tomorrow. So if you go to santafeopera.org, you can find the schedule. They change them all the time.
Now, what about Art Santa Fe?
Art Santa Fe is happening this weekend, and we had Charlotte Jackson on, I think it was the day before yesterday. And Art Santa Fe is basically an art fair with galleries and artists from all over the world, and people come from all over the place to go to it. It's amazing. We had SOFA last weekend and Art Santa Fe this weekend.
I know. There's always something happening in this town.
It's huge.
Wouldn't it be amazing if one day you and I came on speaking to the arts and there was absolutely nothing to speak of? And we had
I think we'd
improv?
Amuse ourselves.
Oh, I couldn't make it to your show Tuesday night. Am I forgiven?
Yeah, you're forgiven.
How'd it go?
It went well.
Were people there?
There were people there. Are you kidding? It was sold out. You couldn't even get in. There was a waiting list.
Oh, good. So I feel less bad. Whenever I say to people, I'm sorry I couldn't make your show, and they say it was full, then I feel like, if they say, like, we had one seat
open.
There
was one ticket left.
Yeah, then I always feel a little nervous.
And we missed our financial goal by $25 because of that one seat that you weren't in.
Wait a minute. A second ago, you said you were full out with people waiting.
I'm just kidding.
All right, so it went well, and you were happy with the shtick you did?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so Art Santa Fe, getting back to that, is at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center. 11 to 7 today, 11 to 6 tomorrow, 11 to 6 Sunday. You can pay per day. You can pay for a 3-day ticket. Check out Ticket Santa Fe at the Lunzik. Guess what that phone number is?
988-1234.
And I want to point out, because I'm a former theater critic, Roberta Smith will be speaking about The Critic in You, The Critic in Me at 6:30 Saturday, New Mexico History Museum.
That should be interesting.
And while that's about the criticism of visual arts, I think everybody should go see it because... She's a critic, and I think critics have a lot of interesting things to say that artists don't always want to hear.
Taste of Santa Fe at
the
New Mexico History Museum.
Let's have some.
It's a gala event sponsored by the Museum of New Mexico Foundation Business Council. And Friday, there's a chef's taste-off, that's today, with blind judging taste competition, champagne and wine stations, followed by a gala dinner at the Palace Courtyard.
Here we go with the gala, boys.
Gala. And Saturday, a community taste event at the Rail Yard from 2 to 6 with samples from more than 30 restaurants and wine garden, live music, children's activities. And so for the gala, it's
gala.
a hefty kind of price. And then for the event tomorrow, it's quite affordable. For more information, tasteofsantafe.com.
I like a gala day, and on Saturdays I like too. I take Sundays off.
And that reminds me of a joke that I can't tell on the radio.
Oh, let's hear it. Do it in pantomime.
476-5200 is the number for Taste of Santa Fe.
I love when your face lights up with a smile and you're truly delighted by my antics.
I'm truly delighted by your antics all the time.
Movies. A lot of little independent pictures opening at the screen at CCA at Regal de Vargas.
Yay.
Exit through the gift shop, CCA.
Oh, I've heard that's very good. It had one of the most brilliant trailers that was absolutely hilarious.
Right, about street art and its
street
evolution.
Street art.
The Girl Who Played with Fire, which is part two of that international publishing and cinematic phenomenon known as The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo at the screen. I Am Love with Tilda Swinton, who also produced the picture at Regal de Vargas.
And my friend who is visiting from out of town is going into paroxysms of joy about how good that film is.
Really?
Yes. That's sitting at the next table in paroxysms.
I like people that go into paroxysms. I like it when they come out of them, too.
She just came out.
Winter's Bone opens today. We haven't seen it yet. I have a feeling that's going to be a little gem over at the Regal de Vargas. And for the big pictures, you got Inception with Leonardo DiCaprio and Christopher Nolan's big picture about dreams and how you can reinvent them in a scary way. I still want to mention Cyrus, opened last week at Regal de Vargas. Beautiful little character picture. Joan Rivers, a piece of work. I very much like it at CCA. And, you know, you can always go see the big stuff. Please Give is still at Regal. And Toy Story 3 is still running. And Twilight Saga and Prince of Persia and lots of things.
And Vibes Latin Night is happening today at El Patio, formerly Cloud Cliff, on 2nd Street. And so that was where the Mambo Room originated. And so they're having a special evening tonight starting at 9 o'clock. And they are going to have a special Latin night. So it's not just sort of Caribbean reggaeton. It's actually a real contemporary salsa evening. And at 9:15, Tony Perez will give a free dance lesson.
And Rob DeWall, coincidentally, reviewed El Patio Cafe over on 2nd Street, which is where Cloud Cliff used to be. It's in today's Pasatiempo.
Excellent. And did he give it a good review?
He seems to have given it a fair review.
Okay.
I think he had some issues with the waiters and the waitresses. What's your experience with waiters and waitresses in this town in general?
It varies greatly. At the former Cloud Cliff, I noticed there was a great deal of turnover. And one of the things is that if you live in a place and you go to the same restaurants over the course of a few years, you can really tell a lot about a restaurant, whether there's a high turnover in the wait staff and bus staff, or whether you have the same people year after year after year.
It's a good point, and I noticed.
And if you have the same people year after year after year, the quality is going to be high, and it also means that that they're being treated well and that it's a good working atmosphere. And
they're
going to
treat the clientele well, probably.
And I'll tell you what, here at the Santa Fe Baking Company, there have been the same people here since the beginning of time.
You're not kidding. I've been on this show now 6 years and all the same
guys
are here.
It's all the same guys, yeah.
No,
I think this is a very good place to work.
Because they keep trying to throw me out and I recognize them. Muscles. Krista Brooks. I did a piece on her a few years ago. She takes your dog to her house and she paints your dog like it's a marketing label. Like, you know,
Old Spice?
Old Spice, only it's like your dog. And there's a picture of one of her works in the Pasatiempo today on page 72 in the calendar, put together by Pam Beach. And she's having an opening, Works of Arf, since you like dogs. Well, that's her. I didn't make this pun up.
Works of Arf.
I can be a pretty punny guy, but that wasn't mine. Retro Pets Gallery and Boutique, 621 Old Santa Fe Trail. And the opening is tonight, 5 to 8. Show runs through mid-August. Take a look, see if you like doggies. And
I like doggies.
Yeah, I'd like to bring one of my dogs over to have her paint them, but I think he'd bite her.
That wouldn't be so good.
No.
So Lorianne Fiorentino is doing an event with special guest Doug Jeffers. She's a singer-songwriter, and tomorrow at 8 o'clock, she's going to be playing at Mike's Music Exchange at La Tienda in El Dorado. For more information, 466-2782. Julie, and has she been playing? I haven't seen her name for a while. And she's looking absolutely gorgeous in this poster.
Oh, I'm not turning that just around. Just say.
Oh, I just closed it. Sorry.
Judy Garland, Headlines and Heartaches. She's dead, but Julie Trujillo is bringing her back to life, and I just got distracted by that image of
Lorianne Fiorentino.
She looks beautiful.
She is.
Julie Trujillo and pianist David Geist team up to do an homage to Judy Garland, part of that Stars
Yay.
Never Fade Productions. They always pay tribute to these old 1940s guys like the Andrews Sisters, Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole. Now they got Judy Garland. Judy, Judy, Judy. 6 o'clock tonight, Vanessa. Got to pay to get in. 982-9966. I'm pretty sure that runs through the weekend.
Now, Theater Work is moving its base of operations to the Sosoya building on the NMSD campus. What's NMSD?
New Mexico School for the Deaf. I just heard that this
week.
Oh,
okay.
Although they didn't send us a press release, but I did hear that.
So they're going to have a huge yard sale tomorrow from 8:30 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon at their studio in the Richards Avenue Business Park at 3201 Richards Lane. And it says, please tell your friends, you name it, it's there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're selling any ducks.
Hockey sticks.
For a Theater Work production?
You never know.
So.
If you want a hockey stick, you might go there because they said they have everything.
Well, it's true. You shouldn't say those sort of things if you don't have it. But my suspicion if it's Theater Work is they have a lot of it.
I'm not gonna say they really do have a hockey stick. Okay.
The Commodores. Remember them?
Yeah. Brick House.
She's once, twice, three times a lady.
What, did they do Brick House?
No, they did. What do I mean? I don't know what they did. They're at 8 o'clock. They're playing at the Buffalo Thunder Saturday night. Go and see what they played, the Commodores. You get me... did they do Brick House? I know that they played a number of songs that were very popular, like they did Brick House. They did
yeah,
Three
they
Times
did Brick
a Lady.
House. Thank you very
they
much.
They did Easy. They did Night Shift. Remember the movie Night Shift?
No.
You're on the Night Shift. 8 o'clock, Saturday. The Tiwa Ballroom Stage, Buffalo Thunder Resort and Casino, 12 miles north of downtown Santa Fe, off 84-285. Here's the phone number, 800-905-3315. Or guess what? Check out www.tickets.com.
So here is an event, and maybe we together we can figure out what it is. It says, Walk, Bike, Carpool to Worship, Weekend Prayer for the Gulf. Stand in solidarity with the people and creation of the Gulf Coast dealing with the massive oil disaster. United Church of Santa Fe, Westminster Presbyterian, St. Bede's Episcopal Church, and Holy Trinity Orthodox Church invite other communities to join them Friday and Saturday. And Sunday, for more information, you can call 988-3295, Reverend Talitha Arnold.
And it's that time again, year again, if you want to head up to Museum Hill for storytelling with Joe Hayes.
Oh, we love him. He was on the show the other day. He does this stuff at the Wheelwright.
Twice weekly outdoor summer series of Southwest Stories, 7 o'clock on the Dancing Grounds. It's always free. It continues through mid-August. Call the Wheelwright for information, 982-4636. I do know that he's going to be there on Saturday night and Sunday night. I think it's Saturday and Sundays at 7 o'clock at the Wheelwright.
And children of all ages, that means you, Robert,
oh,
not,
yes,
are
absolutely.
Welcome. And it's free. It's he's a great storyteller.
I know, but when he tells the ghost stories, I get nervous.
Okay.
Northern
the Photo Eye is hosting a reception and book signing for Edward Ranney and Lucy Lepard in honor of their new book, Down Country, which we talked about on this program. It's published by the New Mexico Museum of New Mexico Press, 5 to 7 Photo Eye Gallery.
Meanwhile, the Cathedral Park Arts and Crafts Fair continues. It's Cathedral Park, 213 Cathedral Place, 10 to 5 on Saturday. Head on over there and see what they are doing. They're also there on Sunday. 473-5590. Vita in Virginia, what do you know about that?
Oh, that should be really good. Suzanne Lederer and Elena Zachary are reading on, I think it's this coming Sunday at Collected Works Bookstore. Was it 3 in the afternoon?
3 o'clock, donations accepted, 988-4226. It's Eileen Atkins' play about the relationship between Virginia Woolf and Vita Sackville West.
Yeah.
So.
Which was pretty hot.
Tell me more.
Well, they were... they were both married to men, but they were also very much in a relationship with each other, but they never lived together and they never got divorced. So it's one of those things.
That's nice. You're suddenly making me more interested in that than I thought. Is there a bathtub scene?
It can't call it a triangle. I guess you would call it a quadrilateral.
A quadrilateral? A love
quadrilateral.
Oh, boy.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, now that we're thinking about that, let's talk about Walk on the Wild Side, where friends of Frenchie's Field and the Labyrinth Resource Group present a Labyrinth Walk at 5 p.m.
Labyrinth.
Yeah, that place. 5 o'clock ceremony. Walk follows potluck supper afterwards. Frenchie's Field. No charge. Osage and Aquafria. 5 o'clock on Sunday for Walk on the Wild Side.
Excellent.
What do you call that place?
A labyrinth?
Thanks. Have you been to any of the Santa Fe Bandstand stuff?
Well, the only thing I've been to on the plaza so far was when Tradición played, was it last week, on the plaza on Thursday night, that song group from Cuba.
Everybody's going at noon and 6 o'clock almost every single day, Monday through Thursday. They've got music and people dance and they have fun, and I'm really glad. That's one of the things that the city has helped put together that seems to have some legs. You wonder about some of this other stuff like the... Well, I won't say anything.
What?
You know, some of the other stuff they promote. This is going to be great. And then
okay, check this out. Los Alamos County Summer Concert Series. They always send the most amazing emails because they've got this concert series about which they go into great detail. Okay, so tonight they happily present the Sisters Morales at Ashley Pond beginning at 7 o'clock. They play rock clubs, cantinas, dance halls, performing arts centers, all sorts of places all over the country. They played the Kennedy Center in D.C., the Voices of Latin Rock Festival, Willie Nelson's 4th of July picnic, and so on. They're Mexican-American sisters. They grew up in Tucson in a musical family, and they just play all kinds of different music. So it's kind of, drawn from different cultural elements, and including Tejano and rancheras and polkas, and also... influenced by American rock and so on. And they look pretty cute, too.
That's nice.
Yep.
Between that and the lesbian reading, there's some fun stuff going on.
Yep.
Here's a title of a lecture for you. Sex, chastity, marriage, justice, mercy, corruption, : Is Measure for Measure a comedy? That would get my interest to know that stuff.
Oh, I thought it was about you. Until the colon.
Daniel Lowenstein, 4:15 on Wednesday. It's a free lecture up at the Student Center at St. John's College if you're interested in Shakespeare's Measure for Measure. I'm going to haul off and...
What are you going to do?
I'm going to say goodbye to you because the music's coming
what
in.
What do you
that
think you're
gonna
going
to do? Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll see you later tonight.
And don't forget to check out Tropic of Capricorn, which is a...
Oh, it's a great novel.
A gardening place here in Santa Fe that has all sorts of workshops about gardening. All right, you've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Robert Nott is Education for the Reporter, and he is with the Paso Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe New Mexican, and he's here with us every Friday, speaking of the arts, and he's blushing, and it's so cute. Stay tuned for the BBC. Thanks to Mary Lynn LeBlanc for engineering today. My email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. My website is santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services, and we stream 24/7 at ksfr.org. Ricardo Perez will be with us in just a moment with Jazz a la Carta. Hey, have a wonderful weekend.
Me too. Maybe I'll see you at a party or something.
Yeah, maybe I'll see you at a party or something, or maybe at the opera. We can sing along with Tales of Hoffman. Do you think they'd like that?
Well, it depends. That sounds like a pretty good Tales to me.
It's actually a great story and wonderful music.
Good.
So,
well, it's the opera. How can it not be?
How can it not be good? Well, it could be one of one's less favorite operas, or it could be a kind of music that you don't like. It could be anything.
Actresses doing the lesbian show. They're pretty cute themselves.
Yeah, Suzanne Letter and Elena Zachary. They're very good. Okay, Robert, have a great weekend. We'll see you. See you later, alligator.
Hockey stick.
Ciao.